This session is preaching the gospel, the Spirit, and the Word. What's the first one? Spirit. Again. The Spirit. Again. The Spirit. Amen. You need to exercise your spirit to receive something of the Spirit. Now, let me ask you all a question. What is the Spirit to you? What is the Spirit to you? Is it some magical power that you get bestowed when you exercise your spirit? You have strength to go do something? Or maybe you have a more scriptural thought. It's like the dove in John 1:32. When the Lord was being baptized, the Holy Spirit came as a dove, descending upon him. Well, do doves come to you? Does the Spirit come to you like a physical dove? It does not. Not a physical dove, at least. Spiritually, yes. Well, I like to I like to Bibleize your brain a little bit this afternoon. The Spirit, it's not some kind of weird mystical thing, okay? The Spirit is a person. Repeat that. The Spirit is a person. The Spirit is a person. Okay? So I really want to impress you with that the Spirit is a person, right? You know that song? Now Christ is the life-giving Spirit. Now Christ is the Spirit today. Now Christ is the life-giving Spirit. So turn to your Spirit and say what? Oh Lord, amen. Oh Lord, amen. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, amen. Oh Lord, amen. Hallelujah. Now Christ is the life-giving Spirit. The Spirit is a person. Well, how about let's read Roman numeral 1 together. We need to. Amen. We need. That means you have to. This is vital. This is necessary. To participate in what? The outpouring of the Spirit of power. Power. What is this power for? Anyone know? The Spirit of power. What is this for? It's to get out of yourself so that you would talk to someone else about the Lord. The Spirit of power as the dynamic impact for preaching the gospel. Okay? In Acts 2:18, it says, "And indeed upon my slaves, both men and women, I will pour out of my Spirit in those days, and they'll sit at home and do nothing." Is that what it says? And they'll just enjoy the church life and not talk to anybody. They'll keep the Christ that they enjoy and won't flow out. It says, and they will prophesy. They will speak something of Christ. The filling of the Spirit, the outpouring of the Spirit is not so that you can kind of keep it and be happy with yourself. It's so that you can speak forth. You can speak something of the Lord, okay? So we need to be exercised in the Spirit so that we can speak something of the Lord. Okay? Well, how do you exercise your spirit? And I like to make this differentiation for you. Exercising your spirit is not the same as releasing your spirit. Okay? In the meetings, you may hear, "Exercise your spirit!" And you'll scream louder maybe. Okay? But that actually is just the release of your spirit. To exercise your spirit is actually to take care of the Lord in your daily living. The previous session was on the divine light. When you take care of your conscience, when you take care of the light, you're exercising your spirit. You are. Did you know that? It may not feel like, you know, brothers, if you lift weights, you may not feel like you're getting pumped up, okay? But you're still exercising your spirit by taking care of the divine life within. By taking care of the divine light within. So that when it comes time, you're already exercised, you can release. You can release your spirit. Okay? Well, in the book of Acts, the early believers did everything by the Spirit. When we go to the campuses, We have to go by the Spirit. Meaning, maybe you'll sing. Maybe you'll just whistle or hum a hymn that you've been enjoying. That's great. But maybe as you walk to campus, the Lord touches you on something. If you live in corporate living, in a brother's house or with other believers, maybe the Lord will touch you as you walk to campus. You didn't make your bed. I've seen enough brothers' rooms where they don't make their bed. Maybe the Lord will touch you. Did you make your bed this morning? What kind of humanity is this? Is that me? Is that my testimony? When I resurrected, I folded my linens and I laid them off to the side. Peter and John knew it was me because I fold my sheets. Did you fold your sheets? I don't want to expose anyone or anything like that, but during your stay here, do you fold your sheets? We're on the college training of the humanity of Jesus. Do we fold our sheets? Well, you take care of this, you're exercising your spirit. Right? Okay. So, these verses here are awesome because this is not activity-based exercising spirit. Okay? This is a daily living of the Spirit. In Acts 8:29, the Spirit said to Philip, "Approach and join this chariot." What was Philip doing? He was just walking. He was just going down the road, part of his daily life. "I'm going to campus. Go approach that person. Go speak to that person. Approach that chariot." Right? So we go by the Spirit. Well, Acts 13:2, "And as they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me now Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" They were already what? Enjoying the Lord, ministering to the Lord. That was their life and living. I hope you come away from this time. Preaching the gospel is not merely an activity. Preaching the gospel should be our living. Actually, our living should be preaching. Okay? One brother says, "Preach the gospel. Use words if necessary." Right? That's not a nice motto or gimmick or anything. That's a reality. Okay? Well, in point B, there are two aspects of the one divine Spirit. The essential aspect for life inwardly and the economical aspect for power outwardly. So again, I like to say, the example here is really awesome. I really appreciated this. In Greek, in Acts 2:2, "And suddenly there was a sound out of heaven as a rush of a rushing violent wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting." That Greek word is pleroo, fill, pleroo, okay? That's inward filling. Then in verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues, even as the Spirit gave to them to speak forth." That word filled is pletho. Pletho. Pleroo, pletho. Go ahead and say that. Pleroo, pletho. Okay. Now, what does all that mean to you? It's all Greek to you, correct? Literally. Well, you're filled inwardly. Okay? That's essential. Then later on, pletho, they were filled outwardly. They were clothed without. Well, what does that look like? You are so filled. I wanted to do an illustration, but I didn't want to get water and liquid all over the place. Let's say you have a cup, okay? So use your imagination, cup. And there's water being poured. You're getting pleroo'd. You're getting filled inwardly. Fill, 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 fill. What happens if I just keep on going? More water. What happens? Overflows. You are clothed outwardly. Okay? It's still the same Spirit. Okay? It's not that there are two spirits. It's two aspects of one Spirit. You are infilled so much, there's an overflow, there's an outpouring, and you're clothed by the economical Spirit, okay? Or the economical aspect of the Spirit. So, point one, the secret of experiencing the inward aspect and the outward aspect of this wonderful Spirit is simply to call on the Lord again and again. Right? We're all given to drink one spirit. Keep on drinking. Keep on eating. Right? You all appreciated that, right? Eat. Drink. Eat. Drink. Are you eating right now? Are you drinking right now? Right? We need to exercise in this way. And I'd like to share this verse. Psalms 45. You can write this down. Psalms 45, 1 through 2. My heart overflows with a good matter. I speak what I have composed concerning the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore, God has blessed you forever. When someone enjoys something, they get so excited about it. They can't help but talk about it. When the World Cup was going on, people were excited about it. They Instagrammed it. They Facebooked it. They tweeted it. Okay? Well, how much does the Lord fill you so that your heart overflows with a good matter? You just can't help but tell someone, oh, this morning, God kissed me. I let Him kiss me. I can kiss the invisible God. No, you're crazy. Oh, yeah, I'm crazy in love for the Lord. Why aren't you? You can scream your head off about a little ball passing through a net. Pigskin, right? Football, okay? You scream your head off for those things. Your heart is filled with pigskin. But what about the King of Kings? What about the Lord of Lords? The most wonderful, pleasant person in the universe wants to make home in your heart and flow out. Okay, so with that, I'll go to two and then we have a testimony. After we call the Lord, we will pray and receive strengthening and refreshment inwardly. We will also outwardly have the power, the boldness, the assurance, and the faith to speak strongly. Amen. So, Elijah.
Amen, saints. My name is Elijah. I'm a second year at UCLA. Before I begin my short testimony, I would like to give you guys a little virtual tour of the UCLA campus. So, UCLA is a really small campus, so you can just walk everywhere. And there's a very dense part of campus known as Bruin Walk, and that's where everyone has to pass through to get to class. So it makes sense that, you know, that's where all the clubs have their little tables set up, and then there's booths there so people can flyer and whatnot. Because if you set your table there, then everyone's going to see your club. So because of this, we actually, the Christian students at UCLA, we table there. And we do this every Tuesday and Thursday. And then what we do is we'll have a little area where we have, you know, a couple brothers and sisters, and we'll be playing the guitar, we'll be singing hymns, and we'll be handing out flyers for some of the college meetings or the Bible studies. So this past year, I've been attending almost every single one of these tabling times, every Tuesday and Thursday. And at the beginning of the year, to me, I remember my thought was, oh, you know, I don't know if it's cool for me to sing in front of all these people. You know, maybe it'd be better for me to just flyer. But, you know, as I did this more and more, and the Lord really began to fill me with His life and this kind of enjoyment, I began to be more comfortable with singing. And, you know, before I knew it, this time, I didn't even identify this time as a gospel time anymore. But this time, to me, was just a time of release and enjoyment. So actually, like, I have a schedule on my UCLA where, like, I put all my classes and stuff on it. And then, actually, on my schedule, that little hour of Tuesday and Thursday, it doesn't say tabling. It says enjoyment and release. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so one particular day a couple months ago, we were tabling as usual, and then I saw a gardener like to the side of where we were, and then he was kind of just like sweeping the leaves and stuff. And then he was by himself, and then we were singing, and about a half hour into this time, he took a break. So he stopped, and he sat at some steps near where we were. And then I had my eye on him. I don't know why, but like I just noticed that he was doing all of these things. And then when he sat to the side, I noticed he wasn't with anybody. He wasn't doing anything. Like most of the gardeners, when they sit down to rest, what they do is they'll take out their phone, they'll read a book, they'll eat a sandwich, whatever. But he was just sitting there. He wasn't doing anything. And then my thought was, okay, this guy's probably just going to sit there, and then after a couple seconds, he'll go back to doing his job. So I kept singing, and I kept, you know, just enjoying the Lord. But then I remember after like a minute, I looked back at him, and he was still there, still doing nothing. I was like, okay, Lord, it's already been a minute. Surely he will leave soon. And I kept singing. And I looked again, and he was still there doing nothing. And then the Lord slowly began to speak to me, and he said, Elijah, this guy is there doing nothing. I have set this guy there so that you can talk to him. And I was like, Lord, no way. Come on, dude. He's going to leave soon. He's already been there for 3 minutes. Like, how long of a break could he have? And then, I mean, he deserves a long break. But eventually what happened was, you know, the Lord just kept, he wouldn't let me sing in peace. He was saying, Elijah, go talk to him. And I was like, oh, Lord, no, I don't want to. Lord, please, no, please. But then eventually this feeling was overwhelming my being. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. Lord Jesus, I'll go talk to him. So what I did was I stopped singing and I walked over to him and he was still there. And then I sat down next to him and then I just shared a bit of the gospel with him. And I shared, you know, what I've been enjoying for the past week. And, you know, I managed to speak to him for about 15 minutes, longest break of his life. And then, you know, after that time, I managed to get his contact information. And, you know, before I went to him, I noticed that his countenance was kind of sorrowful. It was kind of morose. Like he was just sitting there by himself and you could tell that he was really lonely and he was seeking for something, you know, you just don't know what. But after I spoke to him and I looked at his face, he was shining. He was so happy. You know, I don't know if he received the gospel, but I do know that he received something of life from my speaking. And, you know, afterwards I left and then I was really happy. I went back and I kept singing. And then something I realized was, you know, before I was singing and I was super happy, right? This is my release and this is my, you know, repair for the day. But the result of me speaking to this random person as a result of all that enjoyment was so much greater than the enjoyment I received from singing these songs. You know, I can really testify, yeah, it's great to table, you know, release your spirit. But this exercise of the spirit, you know, the Lord kind of just forcing me to talk to him was what really, really brought me this really sublime form of enjoyment. And I can testify that there are a few times in my first year of college where I was that happy and I was that filled with the Lord. And, you know, I can tell that as a result of this, you know, next time when the Lord's pressing me to speak to somebody, I'll probably argue less. I'll be like, I won't say, oh, Lord, no, no, no. I'll say, Lord, yeah, that first time was really great. Lord, amen. By faith, I'll do it again. Yeah, so praise the Lord. If you can table, you can preach the gospel. Amen.
Amen. That's really good. So he was filled inwardly. The Lord just kind of bothered him. He was bubbling up within him and he had to gush out, right? Okay, so let's continue on. Point C. How about you all read that? The power. Amen. Power of the gospel is in the Spirit. I think it is evident in that testimony. If we just sit there just to enjoy for ourselves, right? That's not good. We need to go out, right? Okay, so these points here I'll read through quickly. The resurrected and ascended Christ, as the head of the church, has already baptized all his believing members in the Spirit. We have to exercise our faith to believe that, according to the New Testament revelation, we are in the Spirit. As you walk to campus, you are in the Spirit, right? How about you all declare that we are in the Spirit? We are in the Spirit. Brothers.
We are in the Spirit.
Sisters.
We are in the Spirit.
Amen. You are. Okay, three. We must love the Lord and His Word, forsake sinful matters, open ourselves to be fully cleansed, and consecrate ourselves to the Lord, or our faith will not work. Well, those verses are very striking in Psalms 110, verse 3. Who are God's people? It says, your people will offer themselves willingly. Right? What characterizes the people of God? They offer themselves willingly. It's their being. Then it says, your young men will be to you like the dew from the womb of the dawn. It's not the young men that go actively and go do lots of things, but it starts in the morning. Are you dew from the womb of the dawn? Is your being this? Then you are the people of God and you're the young men of God. So this is totally along the line of exercising our spirit, taking care of all of these things before the Lord. Okay? Well, at this point, we have one more testimony, and it'll kind of be co-shared. Charles Zhao, if you can come up. Okay. The other brother that was involved with Charles's testimony could not be here, so I asked him to write an email to me to kind of speak his experiences of this. So I'll start off. The brother is Eric Romero. Some of you may know him. Okay. That summer, I'm speaking on behalf of Eric, okay. That summer was unique in particular because I was only working as a lab, I was only working as a lab consultant around 25 hours, and the rest of my time was devoted to helping with orientation, the freshman orientations. That was what I had wanted for that summer, to be completely immersed in the orientations. I was burdened that during that summer, there would be some new freshmen that I could connect, be connected with to bear remaining fruit. With this burden, many desperate prayers were released, both personally and with my companion Mike. Every night, we prayed together, specifically for the orientations. And I had many personal times of prayer for the orientations as well. So that week was filled with prayer, individually, with companions, and corporately as the church in the prayer meeting. Specifically on that day, I just came singing, looking forward to the time. While a good portion stayed at the table to sing together, I went out directly opposite the table to flyer and to sing at the top of my lungs. It was awesome, just enjoying the Lord without shame.
Amen, Saints. My name is Charles Zhao. I'm a third year studying EE at UCLA, which means experiencing and enjoying Christ.
Hey, nice.
I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony of how I met the Lord. In the last summer, I went to UCLA for the summer orientation, and at that point, I did not expect too much when I went there. But being away from home and by myself, I just hope that I have a new start or at least a change in life. On the first day of my orientation, because I did not get really used to the environment, so I did not make a lot of friends either, and so I was pretty lonely at that day. So and then at the dinner time, so many clubs are tabling on Bloom Walk, and Christian Students was one of them, and I heard the singing and really touched me, but I did not approach them first. And then, so I got my dinner, and I was sitting alone, but then I have a sense of emptiness within me, and I just felt like it's just vanity, and I began to consider, like, what is the meaning of my human life, and what do I come here for? I do not know why. But then, suddenly, I don't know why, but a thought came to my mind just thinking about God. And I did not know, before I did not even know my what to believe or my religious will. But I believe in myself, I thought I was able to do everything. But at that point, I realized that I was nothing. But I believe that there is a God, but it seems that He is not really real to me, and because I haven't seen Him or know Him. So I was desperate, and so I looked to the sky, and I began to pray deeply in my heart. Oh God, if you are here, be real to me. After that, I finished my dinner, and just before I left the place, I met a brother, Eric Romero. And he said hi to me and like asked me how I was doing in the orientation. And so we started a conversation, and I asked him what he is, and he said he's part of the Christian Students Club at UCLA. Mm-hmm.
So, on Eric's behalf again, he was quiet, emotionless, just standing there, but made no nonverbal cues that I should stop sharing. And at this part, I remember specifically, after sharing with him, I remember I was just getting excited, happy, smiling, and bouncy. And I ended with saying how the Lord wants to get inside of you to be your life and everything. Then I asked him a question. I said, do you want to receive the Lord? And he said, yes. I was taken aback. Most people just said no and walked away. Inwardly, I remember saying to myself, whoa, for real? Like right now? In the middle of crowded Bruin Walk, some random guy wants to receive the Lord? Amen, let's go! And as these ridiculous concepts quickly flashed through my mind, Charles just remained there, standing, waiting for me to do something.
He asked me some hard questions. what do you pursue for in your life? And I wondered for a while. But I couldn't answer because it is also a question that I'm looking an answer to in my whole life. And so he started to share his experience with this person who is called Jesus Christ. And he how he died for him and touched him and given everything for him. And so he wanted to give his life and pursue this person, Jesus Christ. And at that moment, I was really touched, and I was touched by the Spirit, and because there is a person so loving that he died for me and you, and I have a sense that that is what I'm looking for in my life, and have a sense and wanted to believe. So the brother led me to prayer, and I received the Lord on that day.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you. So if you live and walk by the Spirit, you'll never know when someone else receives the Lord. You just have a daily living. You have a daily walk. And what happens is, another Charles gets saved. Right? So sweet. So wonderful. Well, if we have, this is four, if we have the real power of the Spirit, we do not need any gimmicks such as rock music, dramas, or performances. Why? You'll have the real, genuine living. And that will attract people. So I'll hand it over to Brother Jasper here. Go ahead and read Roman numeral 2.
Amen. That was so encouraging. Praise the Lord. Wasn't that good? The Lord fills you with His Spirit. You have no idea what it can do. You can save people. I was really impressed, you know, as our brother Chris was speaking the word, the matter of being filled with the Spirit inwardly and outwardly, we realize that the Lord, His desire is to fill you. And according to Ephesians chapter 5, you know what the will of the Lord is? I want you to remember this. His will is to fill. Will and fill, they rhyme, so that you can remember it very easily. His will is to fill. And I want to bring out three words to you, and that is prayer, Spirit, and the Word. You look at the book of Acts, how did the Lord move? No gimmicks, right? He moved by three things: prayer, spirit, and the word. And even that last testimony, I want to highlight that this brother was praying with his companion every day, every night. He was praying, right? You just consider, even last message, right? Prayer and companions. We need to preach the gospel, but how do we do that? First and foremost, we pray. We grab our companion and say, brother, let's pray. And you just pray and you get filled and you have no idea what the Lord will do. Right? And the Lord fills you with His Spirit and you know what happens? The word runs. Right? This is how the Lord moves in His economy. But there is another aspect of filling that is very, very important. Right? We could sing, yes, we pray, the Lord fills us, praise the Lord. We could preach the gospel, praise the Lord. But there is something that is very solid, and that is the word. That is the word that we have in the Bible. Right? When we are filled with the word, you know what happens? The issue is the outflow of life. You will have the solid food. You will have what you will possess, what every man in this universe needs. Because everything that man needs is contained in God's divine word. You know, there's a verse in Matthew chapter 24, right, concerning a servant. And it says, who is the faithful and prudent servant, right, who will give food at the proper time? If you are constituted with the word in the ministry, you will have the food for the right time. There will be an occasion, like maybe Charles and Eric, they run into each other, and you have the food. Here's a person, oh man, what is the meaning of my life? I mean, that's that's awesome, right? You know, many times when I go out to preach the gospel, you know, I don't necessarily meet people who are looking for the meaning of their life. I wish I met people like that. But man, the proper time comes. Are you going to have the food? You need the food. If you have the right food, you will minister the right food. And you know what? That eternal word that is within you is going to ring the eternity in that man's spirit. And you know what? And that person is going to find infinity, will find eternity. You know what that is? That is God. And they will realize that God's will is to fill him. And then that person's meaning of life will be fulfilled. Because you have been filled with the Spirit, and you have been filled with the Word. Isn't that inspiring, brothers and sisters? That we could fulfill God's purpose, right? And bring men to salvation. Bring God to them. And bring them to the meaning of their life. So that their life will not be wasted. This is how we do it. Is it an activity? No, it's not. Is it an event? It is not. It is a living of being filled with the Spirit. And being filled with the Word. And the issue of that will be people finding meaning of their life. So in this, I would just like to call a testimony. Janice, where are you? There she is. While she's coming up, let's read the outline point A.
And I go to Long Beach City College, and for this past couple semesters, I have been going over Galatians, Ephesians, and a life study of Philippians. And every time I read these books, I always felt like I needed to share it with someone. And I always felt refreshed, and I felt like someone needed to hear it. So there were these two sisters, one by the name of Itzy, and the other by the name of Anna. Itzy was gained through the table, and Anna was in my class. And every time I saw them, I felt like sharing something with them, something of what I've enjoyed. And I was praying specifically for Itzy at the time because I wanted her to go to the college conference, and she ended up going. But when she went, I didn't get to go. But when she returned, she ended up visiting me, and she was sharing with me everything she enjoyed, all the speaking from the outline, her enjoyment. And so I was very impressed because she was a new one. And it was just that I was praying for her, and I was praying for her with my companions. And so also with Anna, she's a very shy sister. But every time I shared something with her, she shared something with me. And so I just, through this, I learned that when you're before the Lord, you have the boldness to speak. And the best way to be filled is to flow out.
You know, I know Janice because she's from Long Beach, and I happen to be from Long Beach, and I serve at LBCC, and she is a student there. And, you know, the just to highlight a couple of things, Itzy, the first sister, we met at the table. And then there, Janice talked to Itzy, and Itzy was brought into the club and then into the enjoyment of Christ. And the second sister, Anna, was actually Janice's classmate. She just had a feeling to speak to her classmate because she was enjoying something of the Word. Now, just consider this. When you have a life of being filled, right, and when you just get filled so much, you know what happens? It just spontaneously overflows. And, you know, really, I'm not uplifting any man. If anything, is all glory to the Lord for his life and his overflowing. And I tell you, our little sister, Janice, you know, I'm big, she's small, whatever. But when it comes to overflowing a portion of Christ, I tell you, she will put me to shame. She will put me to shame, brothers. Sometimes when I try to talk to random people or whatever, you know, or like classmates, you know, I'm taking a class at LBCC, so I'm actually a student. So I'm in the same ranks as you, actually. No, not really, right? I'm kind of a fake student, you know. I'm kind of there as a spy. But you realize, like, when I'm with my student, you know, I'm sitting next to somebody, and I tell you, I was like, oh, man, you know, there's students here. It's like, well, and then I haven't been a student for so long, I didn't know what to do. And I'm like, man, I bet somebody wants to hear something, you know. And I had no idea what to do. I was really out of touch, you know. But man, you know, Janice would always bring her friends to the Bible study. And here I am, I'm preparing the Bible study, getting things ready. I'm not the one really bringing people. It's everybody else who's bringing the people. And then I was just like, wow, man, you just get filled. You have no idea, right? You just get filled and you just start overflowing, right? So it's not about ability, brothers and sisters. It's not about ability. It's not about personality. You might think, oh, I'm such a cool guy. You know, it's like that person, if I talk to him, he's definitely, forget about that. It's not about your personality. It's not about eloquence. It's not about ability. None of that has anything to do with this. You be filled. You go back and pray. You go back and get filled with the Word. And the Lord will flow from you into others. Many times, you know, we realize God's economy, the stewardship, the same word, right? The verse goes to us, it kind of goes like this. The stewardship of the grace of God was given to me for me. Did you catch that? No, right? Don't say amen, okay? The stewardship of the grace of God was given to me for you. It does not say to me for me, because I love God and I will enjoy Him until I die. But I'm not going to say anything to anybody else because, oh, man, I can't do that. But you know what? There is something about this life. You know, was it Brother Lampstand or maybe Josiah who brought it out? This life is like a river. You try to bottle up a river, the river will find somewhere else to go. Brothers, don't bottle up this life. The flow might just leave you. Do not bottle up this life. The river will take another turn. You must let the life flow. Let the life flow. And more you let the life flow, you'll realize more and more of this very life you will enjoy. More of the Spirit will fill you, more and more you flow out. Okay? All right. Let's read point B. Okay. Zoe?
is Zoe, and I'm about to start my third year at Chapman University. So this morning when the brother told us to pray read the verse John 6:63, I was really, really enjoying the second half, right? So it says, "The words which I have spoken to you are spirit and are life." Amen. So I was pray reading over those, and I was just like, that has totally been my experience these past two semesters. His word is spirit and life. Amen. So kind of a quick background before I talk about who I was sharing with. My freshman year at Chapman University, because of my schedule, I was unable to attend a single Bible study. And in general, growing up in the church life, I had never had an appreciation for the word. You know, besides me knowing it as a book that Christians had to read. But I remember that exactly a year ago at this college training in 2013, there was a burden that was released that we would get into the word more. And I remember praying very desperately during that time that I would get to know the Lord's word more, and that I would that in his word I would touch his heart's desire and get to know him more. And the Lord honored that that prayer, because come sophomore year, I was able to finally attend my first Bible studies. I was able to attend Monday after dinner, Tuesday Bible studies, and the Friday home meetings. I finally had my schedule freed up. I could read the ministry with my full-timer. I could read the ministry with the trainees who were there in the middle of the day. And it was such a blessing. And around my first semester of sophomore year, about four or five freshmen who had found out about the club, Christians on Campus, through tabling, about four or five of them consistently began to meet with us. And that was how I first met Felicia. Felicia was a freshman at Chapman, and she grew up Catholic. And at the time, she was very seeking when she signed up for the club, but she had also signed up for all the other clubs, like Crew and a couple of others. I don't remember, but unfortunately, because of her schedule, she after about a month, she couldn't meet with us anymore. But somehow, by the Lord's sovereignty, the Lord opened up a way for me to meet with her once a week, just to read the Bible with her. And that first semester, we were going through Genesis. We were literally just going chapter by chapter. It was amazing. It was amazingly thorough. And like I said, it was the first time I had ever attended the Bible studies. And it was the first time I had ever got into the Word so thoroughly. It was amazing. Genesis was just so amazing. Every chapter was so rich and so sweet and so full of truth and revelation. And I never before had the Old Testament been so applicable to my daily life. And so after the Bible studies, I'd always be really, really full of, you know, of the Spirit and life, right? And I just kind of had this burning in my spirit and this need to pour out. And usually on Monday nights, you know, it would be with my roommate, you know, sometimes who couldn't make it. But otherwise, there weren't very many others around me. And so kind of a side note, growing up in the church life, I had my own concepts about preaching the gospel and shepherding others. You know, the only certain people could do it. But like Brother Jasper said, it's not about ability or personality. You know, there's something about this life within that just needs to pour out. Amen. So it was amazing because with my times with Felicia, I was able to speak my true enjoyment. It was just whatever I spoke was whatever I truly enjoyed that week. And it was amazing. It just completely filled out, and it was so normal to share this with her. And it wasn't until the second semester when we continued to meet once a week that I realized that this was a type of mutual shepherding. Felicia was just so kind and patient, and she was just so willing to listen to me. And it wasn't, and every week it was like I had this life bubbling within, and every single chapter was so full that when I saw Felicia, like, no matter what we'd be talking about, somehow I would manage to relate it to Genesis or to Exodus, whatever chapter we were going through that week. And it was just so amazing. It was like me pouring out into this empty vessel. It was like right overflowing until it was filled over the brim. And near the end of the second semester, when we were still meeting, at the end of our meeting, she started to tell me, you know, that these meetings once a week made her week. They made her day. Sometimes they even made her month. She told me that it encouraged her during the week. It supplied her during her trials, whatever she was going through, because we got to know each other on a very human level over time. And after hearing her say this, I would respond, "It's so mutual." it's such a mutual fellowship, and I realized that it was whenever we fellowshiped over his word and over his ministry, it was, our dry and busy days, maybe our dry spirits, we would then be supplied with spirit and life. And so I just really appreciate that when we're filled with the word, when we're really constituted, it just flows out.
Zoe, can I ask you a question? I know the answer to this question. Wasn't flowing out to Felicia awesome? It was awesome. You know, trust me, you just read the life studies and you think it's really good, right? You have no idea how good the life studies are until you share that with somebody else. Amen. Oh man, then the life study gets real good when you share with somebody else. And the satisfaction you have, oh man, I tell you, it's much more when you share with someone else. I would just like to read this one verse to you in point B. In 1 Timothy 4:6, it says, "If you lay these things before the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, being nourished with the words of the faith and of the good teaching which you have closely followed." In that verse, I just really appreciated that last phrase there, "which you have closely followed." You know, brothers and sisters, it's not a small thing to closely follow something. We have the Word of God with us, right? But we realize many times, I read the Bible without the footnotes sometimes. I have no idea what I'm reading. It's like, well, what is a meal offering? So a priest ate bread? How am I supposed to know that it signifies Christ, right? Until somebody tells me that it does signify Christ and that it will take you through the Bible to see why it signifies Christ and how it applies to our life. Until then, the meal offering is meaningless to you, right? We do have the Word of God. We also have the ministry that opens the Word of God. And I recommend, strongly encourage, charge you to closely follow the ministry. Once you do, you will have all the food you need. The Lord, He will load you with goods. As says in Psalm chapter 68, right? We want to have a lot of goods. Okay, let's read point C. Amen. So here we will have fung. Fung. Where are you? Oh, there she is. Okay.
My name is Fung, and I go to Cal State Long Beach, and it's gonna be my fourth year there. And I just joined the Christians on Campus Club like a year and a half ago. And last year I started reading the life studies of Genesis. So a sister gave me the book, and she asked me to read like a message like every week with her. And at first I wasn't excited. Like, I don't know, I've read Genesis before, but it's like a storybook, and like I don't really get it. And usually, like when she calls me, like I'm just too tired. But like, whenever like we meet up to read the messages, like we pray to the Lord, like that we can see the messages in like a new light and have the word brought into us, and that really changed my life. Like I never knew the word could be so applicable and enjoyable. Like in Genesis, even a picture of a tamarisk tree. Like, it can be relatable to us. It can be our experience. And, like, the more I enjoy the word, like, reading the life, it didn't become, like, a matter of endurance. It just made me hungry for the word. And, like, at first I was reading, like, the life study, like, once a week. But then, like, I'm just always hungry. Like, usually at night when I'm supposed to do homework, like, I'm not really enjoying it. So I just take out the life study and just get into the word. Yeah. And so last spring, I went to my first college conference, and there was a message about Rebecca being brought to Isaac on a camel. And, like, we all have camels. It's like, camel's a dirty animal. So, and I really appreciate, like, you can bring people to God on a camel. Like, and one of the means of bringing people to God is, like, the internet. The internet, you can use it for God. And, like, for example, Facebook. Like, I have a Facebook, but, yeah, I don't really use it, but I just go on there to talk to people. Yeah, and it just touched me. Like, I can use Facebook to bring people to God.
Amen.
So whenever I'm reading the life studies, like, whenever I'm enjoying something, like, sometimes I just feel like I need to share this with other people. So I just post something on Facebook, and, yeah, usually people just like the post. And, like, recently, a classmate I haven't seen in a very long time, like, he commented on one of my posts. It was about, like, the corporate body. Like, he just wanted to know what it was about. And at first, I was just afraid, like, because he was a very critical person. Like, I was just afraid, like, what am I going to say? So I just prayed to the Lord and just let him flow into me so I can flow to him. And that he really appreciated that post. Like, yeah.
Let me say something else about Fung. It's very interesting. She had a little healthy competition with the sisters about the life study reading. And then I think two of our full-time serving ones were reading the life study with her. And then they were already, like, way into the life study of Genesis, and she was starting in the beginning. And by the end of this semester, she passed them. She finished the life study of Genesis. Isn't that good? Oh, man. I'm going to start reading, or else I'm going to get caught up, you know? Have a little healthy competition, you know? It's not bad, you know? Anyways, that's totally besides the point. No more digression. Okay, I'm very competitive, so that's fine. Okay, so just to finish it up, practical things. Point one in C, just 30 minutes a day, study of God's Word book by book. You know, 30 minutes a day is not that much. Not that much. You could spare 30 minutes a day. I really recommend that you set apart a time. You could look through your class schedule and everything and see if you could find a 30 minutes a day where you could be with you and the Lord, where you're able to spend some time in the Word and also in the ministry. You know, and I recommend you to use Facebook. And now, by that, I mean this. This is a real Facebook. In Exodus, the bread of the presence there, actually, the bread there means face bread. But you know what the bread signifies? It signifies the Word, because He is the bread of life, right? I'm the living bread. The bread signifies the Lord. And it's the face bread. And you want to see God's face and eat Him?
Amen.
Then you come to the Facebook, brothers and sisters. This is the real Facebook. Forget about the other Facebooks. Well, you can still use it to preach the gospel. The youth have dirty camel. It's all good. But Facebook, don't forget this, Facebook. I would like to encourage you to tip the scale. Less on the other and more in the real Facebook. Okay? And the matter of endurance in point two, brothers and sisters, getting into the truth is not a matter of inspiration. I mean, when I was in college, I would have all these reading schedules. And then after about a month, I would stop, I would fail, and then I get discouraged, and I stop, and then do it all over again. You have no idea how many times I read Matthew chapter 1. A lot of times, okay? But it's a matter of endurance. Be steadfast. Do not be discouraged. Endure. Sometimes it might feel dry. But keep contacting the Lord by exercising your spirit while you're in the Word, in the ministry, and endure. And the Lord fills you with all the goods that you need in order to flow out to other people, in order for the Lord's increase and also for His spread. Let's pray with your neighbor for 30 seconds concerning what the Lord spoke in this message.